Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before your holy presence to learn. Lord, we know that every time we sit at your feet, every time we learn from your word, it is a good time. And Lord, you taught us even in the book of Psalms how Psalmist David says, I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, in Psalm 126. Father, we pray, 123. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to speak to us in a special way. Father, we don't want to hear men's voice. We want to hear your voice. And Father, may we not be selective, but Lord, help us to see and hear the whole counsel of God according to your word. And I pray, Father, you humble our hearts to know that our hearts need to be humbled before your word. And God, we need to take steps of faith towards you. And God, if there's anything in our hearts that you feel we need, we pray, Lord, that you will just speak to us in a special way. Lord, not in a mystic way, but through your precious word. Help us, Father, not to help us be very careful to guard everything by your precious word, so that we will not be deceived, Lord, for the Bible teaches us that many deceivers are gone out into the world. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit once again to light, lead, and guide us. Speak to us in a special way. Bring the people in quickly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just be false deceivers. How many of you received my email? If you just check your email, Brother Jacob was speaking to me yesterday. He said that he had an interview. Someone interviewed him at Admiralty MRT station and asked him about certain things. Until one time he asked, say, who gives you eternal life? Okay, who actually gives you eternal life? And so they had this checklist, apparently some multiple choice. And Brother Jacob was saying, there's no Jesus Christ there, it's only God the Father, which was the closest in terms of the multiple choice. Okay, and later on, the man actually gave him a website to go to, and he gave me the website, I went to it, and they believe that Christ has already come. Okay, you need to go to Korea to find this Christ. His name is Christ Ang Sang Hong, right? Christ Ang Sang Hong. Okay, you need to receive him in order to go to heaven. Okay, he believe also that there's Mother God. And straight away we know it's a cult already. So, okay, I've emailed to everyone. Please check your email. You can take a look. Okay, heads of the house, fathers, please look at it so that you will protect your children if they want to watch also and to teach them what is right. Okay, the Bible says don't believe every spirit. All right, we need to test the spirit by God's word. Okay, I put a verse in Matthew 24. For many shall come in my name and say, I am Christ, I am He. Okay, the word Christ means Messiah. It doesn't have to be Christ Himself, but the word Christ then means the Messiah. I'm the Savior of the world. Alright? In 1981, there was Elijah Hong. Have you heard Elijah Hong? In order to be saved, you must go to Shanghai or Beijing. I think Elijah Hong, Mount Zion has shifted to China. That was in 1981. I still remember because I remember vividly the pamphlet. Alright? The Bible says many deceivers have gone out into the world. You need your faith here. Okay, God's word will never change. So just a warning. Also, just remind each other, all right, not to believe every spirit. Don't believe everything your pastor tell you to. Not that you don't trust me, but make sure your faith is based not in the wisdom of man's word, but in the power of God and God's precious word. All right, if it's there, let's follow it. If it's not, we need to ask God for wisdom. Okay, all right. Okay, we're going to go through the. Any questions? Any questions? There are a lot, huh? Okay, another one. I just very quickly, even on tracting, I think Brother Denzel was speaking to a family who actually have a lady who goes to teach them Bible every Sunday because the parents don't allow them to go to church. And I think through the conversation, we found out that they've been teaching. It was a Jehovah's Witness. It was going to the house regularly, and but they're open to anyone they come. So let's pray. All right, we're praying that these three girls. How old are they, Brother Denzel? 1917, 11, okay. Mom is very open for them to come, but dad doesn't want them to come. Dad's a hawker, so this lady comes comes secretly every Sunday to give them Bible studies. Alright? Okay, would to God that we would have people that will go secretly give Bible studies, or rather at least the mom knows about it so that we can actually win some of these people to Christ. Okay, we really need a lot of people out there that really needs Christ and God's word. Okay, just some thought there, but please be careful. Dads, warn your families, moms also, and also we need to be vigilant, all right? Okay, let's get into the word. Okay, the goal of the series, once again, the attributes of the ambassador, is actually to go through the different biblical attributes. And I'm hoping that we will see that these are biblical attributes. And we want to do it not because, well, it's just a church thing. It's not. It's a Bible thing. And because we need to be a Bible church, we need to hear what God has to say, okay? All right, looking at the definition of a surrendered church, I try to put the surrender and the assembly together. All right, a surrendered church is defined as an assembly of immersed Bible believers who have made the conscious decision to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives, both individually and corporately. Okay, individually and corporately, that means together as a whole congregation. All right, as much as I say that, I'm very conscious of the fact that surrender is a personal thing. All right, and it is something that God has to work in our hearts individually, to surrender ourselves to Christ, okay? However, to be a surrendered church, Lord willing, you will find that in the Bible, Jesus doesn't just look at individuals, He looks at churches, okay? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, just as an introduction. Christ calls all of us to follow Him personally, but interestingly, He actually sees us as a whole congregation as well. Okay, as whole congregation as well. Verse 1, the Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, okay, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. When the book of Revelation was written, specifically it was written to the seven churches, okay, and the Lord Jesus was very particular about speaking to the angel of the church with regards to what's happening in the whole church. Does it make sense? Okay, it's just like the principle of maybe Yishun Junior College want every student to study hard. So every student's own responsibility is to study hard. But anything happens there, the MOE will call a principal to come and see me. There's something happening in your whole school that I need to deal with. Does it make sense? Alright? So please understand that there are two levels of our surrender. Firstly, as individuals, that means we have all personal responsibility before God. But on the second level, God sees us as a whole church. That's where my responsibility coming as pastor to ensure that we are walking in God's way, but everyone also working together to walk God's way. Alright? Yeah? Some people's faith may be higher, maybe slower, but you know we are all in the process of helping one another grow. Okay? So the definition of a surrendered church. What we're going to do right now, okay, we're going to divide into just groups of two or three, okay, and then we're going to look through some of these verses. There's about probably more than 20, but if everyone take one or two, we can actually cover it pretty quickly, alright? So if I can just divide, maybe Brother Jun and Tim, then maybe the ladies here, then, you do it, Mother? Okay, okay, then, how do you want to divide? A group, so maybe? Yeah. Okay, maybe okay, I just divide, I just throw a verse to you and you just grab someone, alright? Okay. Alright, maybe if you could begin with them. Matthew chapter 4 verse 10. I won't take all the verses. Okay, Matthew 4 verse 10. Alright, then for the ladies there, Luke 9:23. Okay, and then Lydia, Hebrews 11:6. Okay, maybe Song Ling, you can take Hebrews 12:1. And maybe Ate Leong, you can take 1 Corinthians 15:33. Okay, Brother Dan, you can take can take Acts 2:38, the next page already. Okay, Acts 2:38, not next page. Mine is next page, but yours is still the same page. Yours is, Acts 2:38. Okay, then if Sister Maria, you can take Hebrews 10:25. Yeah, Jara is upstairs. Yeah, you want to get the Jara. Hebrews 10:25, Sister Maria, and Ma Ping Kong maybe. And Brother Denzel, if you can take Mark 16:15. Okay. Read through the verse, maybe discuss just between the two or three of you, and then we will actually talk about, last week we talked about what are the marks of a surrendered church, okay? But this week we want to talk about how to surrender to Christ, and that's an important thing, okay? Last week we talked about the marks, but today we want to talk specifically how we surrender, okay? We just take 2 minutes, read that verse, and then try to fill in the blanks, and then we'll go from there, okay? Okay, we just take 1 or 2 minutes, very quickly, so that we can run through how do we, from the Bible perspective, surrender to Christ. What are the practical things that we have to do so that we can have an indication that we have surrendered to Christ, okay? So 2 minutes. And then we'll go. All right? Then. Okay, those already just look at me and smile. Okay, so. I just feeling so I don't realize. Remember, biblical Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts. The do's and don'ts comes after you have already given your heart to the Lord. Just like, I think we have military men here. Once you join the army, you've already said, you know, I believe this is what I need to do as a soldier, as an Air Force man. Okay? All right, then you go in, the commander says, now, I need to do this. Yes, sir, I'll do it. Because you've already given yourself. All right? Those soldiers who don't sign on and say, ah, I'll do the minimum, say, every duty is like, oh, I must do duty. Oh, I must chong swa. Oh, they'll complain all the time. Does that make sense? Okay? So remember, as a Christian, we need to give our heart to the Lord first. After we have surrendered, these are some of the marks of surrender. Some people say, yeah, I've surrendered to the Lord, but so what do I do? All right, let's go through that. Okay? Any questions? Okay, let's start from Brother Timothy Toriano. Or Brother June also can. What is the first point? No, we haven't got to the point. Okay. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. What is Matthew 4, verse 10? Maybe you read the verse. Then we all help one another. Matthew 4, verse 10. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10 says. Shout out, sir. Okay, how do we surrender to the Lord? The verse says, Jesus tells Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Okay? In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I think we all know that. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay? The first point is, we need to make that initial decision of surrender to the Lord. There must be a one-time decision that you say, hey, God has saved me. I know that I need to give my life to him. Okay, it's not giving in full time, but in the realizing, hey, wow, the Lord is really good to me. I need to make that initial, I need to make a decision to just give myself to him. And I believe many of us have done that, and many of us, after we've done that, have faltered back and forth. But can I say this? There needs to be at least an initial decision to move in to a place of surrender. And then later on, let the Lord Jesus lead us, because we will go through ups and downs after that. But there must be an initial decision, okay? Just like a burnt offering in Romans chapter 1, Paul uses, when an offering is given there, it's a one-time thing, it's dead after it's been killed. But Paul says, let's be a living sacrifice. Let's be a one-time burnt offering for Christ. But comparing to the Old Testament, let's be a living one that we can live for Christ every day, okay? Initial decision. So we need to ask ourselves, have I made a decision sometime in my life? Yes, Lord, I will follow you. Even though you may be backsliding, even though there may be things happening that you find, why am I like that? But you know that Christ is your Lord and you're trying your best to follow him. Does that make sense? Okay, have you made that decision? You need to do that. Okay, the next one, Luke 9:23. Okay, so, okay, alright, begin making daily decisions that will matter spiritually. I have here, begin making small decisions that will matter spiritually. Both are equally correct. Daily is good, because that's what the Bible says. Recognize one thing, every day when you read your Bible, at the end of your Bible reading, I taught all my children to write this at the end, Lord, I will. Do I will, for example, if it's about giving, Lord, I will give on Sunday. Lord, I will tell someone the gospel. So at the end, there's actually a clear statement of what you will do. Make small decisions. It's very important. All right? It tells us that we are not hesitating to do what God tells us to do. All right? The next one, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Realize it is by? It's by faith. Okay, realize it's by faith that we surrender to the Lord, okay? I mentioned just now, we cannot do it now just because, I'm part of the church, I must do lah. Cannot. We cannot have that kind of attitude. We say, Lord, I'm trusting you as I make this decision to follow you. Okay? The next one? Okay, which is... Begin letting go. Okay, I have here, begin getting rid of things in our lives, which is correct. All right, the Bible says what? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Okay, we need to begin getting rid of things in our lives that we know will slow us down from following Christ fully. And this is important because surrendering to Christ means two things. One is giving up things, and another one is following Him. So as a Christian, it is impossible to follow Christ fully if there is no letting go. Okay? It's impossible to follow Christ if there is no letting go. Does it make sense? If in our lives we make a decision to follow Christ and we find that, well, we just go on the way I am and live our own life, do you realize that it's impossible to do that? Unless you have no burdens in the first place. Nothing to hold you down. Okay, there was one man, he's an evangelist. I think his name is, I can't remember, Lynch or something. Okay, I have his book. He was an evangelist. He's an evangelist. I think he passed away now. He said, I will not marry because I want to serve God full time. And he did. And he was an evangelist all through the United States. And he gave his life. He said, I will not marry because I want to give myself full time to Christ. Okay, he's not a pope, he's not a Catholic priest, he's an evangelist, but he made a conscious decision in his testimony and said, I will not marry, and God has given me the ability to manage my desires and all that, and gave himself full time. So he denied himself, he surrendered, he got rid. See, marriage is actually normal. It is not mandatory, but it is given as a way of God's blessing for us on earth, okay? To bless us lives. But you know, this particular man, what he did was he surrendered this right, put it away, because he knew that it will be a weight for him when he moved forward. And so for him, decided he won't do that, okay? Begin getting rid of things in our lives that will slow us down, okay? And then under point number 4, 1 Corinthians 15:33, brother. Okay, good friends. Okay, we get rid of, what's that point? Okay, correct, okay. So we're looking at what are some of the things, all right, under that we get rid of. There are two things that Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 tell us, right? What are the two things we need to get rid of? Weights and sin. Okay, burdens and sin, weights and sin, weights. You know, is there a difference between weights and sin? What's the difference? What's the difference between weights and sin? Cares, worries. Okay, what else? Yeah, but it's a burden. Okay, and sometimes people really always very anxious about things. Okay, that means you have not let it go. Anxiety. Do you realize, according to Matthew 6, worry is a sin, because worry means I can't trust God. Okay, anxiety. What else? What other things are weights? Okay, what's the difference between weights and sin first? What's the difference between weights and sin? Because Paul says you gotta give up both. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he won't repeat himself unless necessary. But weights is something else, sin is something else. What is a weight and what is a sin? Okay, family can be a weight. Believe it or not, family can be a weight. Okay, to us actually following Christ. All right, if we are so committed to the family, in fact, unfortunately, some families in America and Australia have been so immersed in the school, homeschool, that they just disappear from church. They have their own. That is sin. That is not right. Okay, that is actually not right. Because God puts both on an equal footing in the scriptures. Okay, God didn't elevate family above the church, nor did He elevate the church above the family. Both are equally important in the sight of God. Alright? And one of the ways that traditionally what people do to church is to help the family serve God together so that they will be serving and at the same time moving towards Christ. Okay, so there's something for us to think about. But ways, okay, so family, what else? What are the ways? What's the difference between ways and sin? A sin is a sin. Sin is an abomination to the Lord. It breaks your fellowship with God. But weight may not necessarily be sin. For example, soccer. Can soccer be a weight? It can. It can. All right? But you spend so much playing soccer, time playing soccer, you don't have time to read your Bible, basically you don't grow. All right? Can golf be a weight? Playing golf? Yeah, you spend so much time with your friends, and you know, golf is a whole day thing. You hit one time, you walk. You hit 10 seconds, you walk another 20 minutes to get to the ball kind of thing. And you spend so much time doing that, okay? And then you don't get to do, you miss out on your spiritual responsibilities. There was one man, I heard a story of an evangelist who told this story. This man came up to this evangelist, and he's quite fat, and his glasses are fake and all that. He says, Brother John, his name is John Cash, he says, I have a weight in my life. My weight is sports. And the evangelist almost laughed because it's quite big size and all that. He says, I love to watch sports. He got 4 televisions at home so that he won't miss the different channels. Okay, and what he has is, if there's a game in America, like this is America, it's a game, about 2-3 hours or 4 hours drive, he will actually go all the way and finish the game. Then because it's too late to drive back, he check in the hotel, usually on Saturdays, and after that, he drive in the morning. He drive back and then he miss church. Okay? Watching soccer is not a sin, but it can certainly slow you down if you really want to follow Christ. You know, teenagers' friends can be a weight. They may not be sin, but they can be a weight. But you know what? What is an indication of a good friend? A good friend you can spend lots of time with that will draw you closer to Christ, and that is a very important characteristic of friendship. Even within the local church, our fellowship ought to draw us closer to Christ. Okay, we can have fun, definitely, in the teens camp we're planning already. You're going to have a lot of fun. But you know what? If a friend don't draw you closer to Christ, but more to the world, you know, sometimes he begs, Lord, in order to follow you, I may have to surrender this friend. I'll still be a friend. I still love the person. But I know that if I continue, I will corrupt the good manners that you've given to me. All right, so any questions? So think of the different weights, all right? The purpose of the bubbles is the weights. What are some of the sin? Okay, the next one is sin. What are some common household sins that we commit? Anyone? Household sins. What about household means? What is common to men? Okay, stealing, lying, murder. Okay, household, not murder. Do we commit murder in the house? Don't like you already. Alright? And don't like become don't love. Don't love become crimes of passion and things like that. Okay? Hatred, unforgiveness, these are household sins. What is the biggest sinful hindrance to surrender? Biggest one. Okay? Loud and clear? Pride. Pride. Because God resists the God didn't say God resists the thief or God resists the covetous. God says, I resist the proud. And really, pride has been the downfall of so many Christians in the area of surrender. Because the unwillingness to surrender something implies, God, I want to hold on. You are not Lord totally. Okay? I had one illustration from an evangelist many years ago. He depicts the Christian life as a house with 10 rooms. And you, as a person in charge of the house, actually have keys to the 10 rooms. And so he asks a question, how many keys have you given to Jesus Christ? Can the Lord Jesus walk into any area of your life and open the door and just walk in and be in charge of that? You know, that was so convicting. So maybe using that illustration, what keys, or rather what rooms are you? Say, Lord, you can go into all these rooms, but Lord, this one I keep, the key I keep. Or would you say, Lord, here's a bunch of keys. Anywhere in my house, Lord, you just have free reign. You just take control because you are Lord. Remember what Jesus says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. All right, that's what the Bible teaches. Any questions? Okay, the next one in Luke 6:46. Oh, I missed out the one. Yeah, Luke 6:46, the Bible tells us, why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why are you calling me your Lord Jesus Christ, but you don't do the things that I say? So, the point is, start doing what I know I must do for the Lord. Do you realize the Bible is very clear on many things?
The revealed will of God is so clear. Example, getting baptized. Is it a will of God? Yes. Okay. Giving, is it a will of God? Yes. Okay, all these things, we need to start doing what I know I must do for the Lord. And I say this when a person, I was thinking through, let's turn to Mark. I was doing my devotions yesterday. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. I'm just going to teach this. I won't try to make any... But in Mark 16, 15, have you ever considered why? No, Mark 16, 15 says what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? That's very straightforward. It's a great commission. But have you ever considered why did the Holy Spirit, in writing the scriptures, says in verse 6, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Have you ever wondered why? Baptism is important for salvation, right? No! But then why in the world, and this is not in italics, I mean it was in the original, why in the world did the Holy Spirit, for he that believes and is baptized? You know why? Because as evidence of your salvation, you'll be willing to do anything that God tells you to do. And the first step, especially for the Jews, was you'll be baptized to prove that you are genuinely a Christian. Because a genuine Christian, when say, Lord, I surrender to you, what do you want me to do? Get baptized. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Does it make sense? Alright? I was reading through at least 3 or 4 commentators, and all of them say the same thing, that when the Lord put that in, he says, yes, salvation is by faith. Very clear. But you put the baptism in, so what's your action after? Because you will not really be sure of your own salvation unless you're willing to take steps of faith. Does it make sense? Now, I'm thankful that many of us have taken that step of faith, but you know what? Those who haven't, as an indication of surrender, it may not be salvation, but surrender, we need to take that step of faith. Alright? Okay? So, start doing what I know I must do for the Lord. What are some of the things we must do? Acts 2:38. What must we do?
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy.
Okay? What we know we must do, repentance is from the heart, but you know, be baptized. That's what Peter said. Repent, and as a proof of your salvation, get baptized. For the Jews, it was a tall order. You know why? Getting baptized means they are rejecting Judaism in front of the Pharisees. And you know what the Pharisees did to Jesus? And so they made a stand. He said, well, show that you're a Christian through your baptism. Okay, what's the next thing? Hebrews 10:25. Faithful church attendance. Hebrews 10:25. There was one message that I heard once, and this pastor was enforcing this thing. You know, I preached this before. Faithful church attendance is mandatory as far as God is concerned. And every opportunity you have, unless you are providentially hindered, unless you are hindered by something, all right? As a pastor, I may consciously not to highlight this all the time, but from the teaching of Scripture, it is a sin if we choose not to be in church when we actually can. Does it make sense? Some of you may have duties, that some of you may be sick, that we cannot stop that, all right? And because a duty is a necessity. You have to do it to obey your boss. Of course, if your boss says, well, I don't ever want you to go to church, this is a separate thing. But you know, if there's a duty, that's something that we cannot help. And it's a necessity because you have to provide for your family. There's a job that you have. However, if you choose and there's a free time and you choose not to be among God's people at an appointed time, that is a sin as far as God is concerned. Because when we surrender to the Lord, you will find that, Lord, wherever God's people will be, I will be there too. Alright? So that's something that we need to be very clear. Because church attendance is in the Bible. Mark 16:15. The next one. Soul winning, okay. Going all the way and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, I'll just go down quickly. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 talks about giving. Alright? Okay, giving labor in store. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, which is a Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, so that there be no gatherings when I come. I know in the context of this, Paul was specifically dealing with a love offering that he wanted the churches to collect for the saints at Jerusalem, because it was a huge earthquake during that time. Many of the saints were actually affected. And Paul says, hey, saints are suffering. Let's just gather together. Let's put in what we can to help them. All right? So, but giving, we know, is a biblical principle. Okay? Then the next one, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, what's the verse? Huh? Service? Okay, what's the verse? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, we need to be faithfully serving the Lord in some way. Okay, God's not asking us all to go full time. I wish He is, because there's such a lack of people actually serving Christ full time. But you know what? Serving Christ in the capacity that God has given to you, we need to be serving Christ as an indication of our surrender. You really cannot love Christ without serving Him. Because Jesus said in Matthew 4:10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Shalt thou minister unto. Alright? Okay, the next one, in Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Okay, as a Christian, as a mark of a surrender, if someone offends you, as a mark of a surrendered Christian, you will forgive. Okay, you will forgive. Right? Acts 17:11, what does that refer to? And the people at Berea are more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they search the scriptures daily and to see whether these things are so. Alright, we need to be reading the Bible to find God's will. Personally, when I was a younger Christian, I read a book on spiritual leadership. And one of the things that the book was saying was this. As a true servant of Christ, we have no rights in this life except to know the will of God. Because if you're a genuine servant of Christ, a slave, a bond slave, a doulos of Christ, we have no rights in this life except to know the will of God. Okay? I'm not saying we have no rights, but in the spiritual living out of the principle of surrender to Christ, we will say, Lord, whatever people do to me is fine, but God, just show me what you want me to do. Alright? Okay, the next one. What is 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Pray without ceasing. Okay, we need to be praying without ceasing. As a mark of a surrendered Christian, we need to be praying actively. Alright? How many of us are doing that? I'm going to put your hand. You realize to pray implies faith. You believe that God will answer. That's why we pray. Okay? So, as a surrendered people, we need to be praying. I strongly encourage all of us to come for a prayer retreat. Okay? We have 8 rooms. Alright? Don't want to waste it. But I know there are certain things you may have to adjust. But do come as a church. We need to learn to come as a church to pray corporately together. Okay? Another one, give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And in the good and the bad. You can't give thanks for everything. You can't give thanks, oh, I give thanks, I broke my leg. You can't give thanks for the broken leg, but you can give thanks when you're in the situation of having a broken leg. Alright? Okay? With Christ in every situation, God always has a plan. God doesn't break our legs for nothing. Okay? We had a brother who had a broken leg many years ago, and he had to surrender something that he was holding on to. Okay? And you know what? Sometimes God may just have to do something to us so that we can learn to give thanks. Because if we are always constantly fighting God, God say, okay, let's go through that again. Let's go through that again. Let's go through that again. When I was in the army, there was this, I think this captain was really crazy. He was a torturer. Okay? He has a Hitler type of mustache. That's why everyone, and in his training, I think actually, tough training is the best welfare, you know. And this kind of captain finish, you know, and he would whack this soldier again just because of a small infringement. Okay? But you know what? Christ doesn't whack us. Amen? He is a good master. He loves us. But sometimes He puts us through the trials again and again. You know why? Because He wants to squeeze good juice out of us. He wants to work out thanksgiving. You know, as a Christian, we need to learn to give thanks in everything, even though you don't see anything good to give thanks. When you give thanks in everything, it's just basically showing, Lord, I don't know what's happening, but I thank God that you do. And so I'm going to put my life in your hands, and I thank you for putting through me through that situation, okay? The next one, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, put others first. Okay, put others first. The Bible tells us to esteem others better than ourselves. That is a Bible principle. Okay, in honor, preferring one another, Romans chapter 12. Okay, if as a church we practice that, you know what, we have no problems in church, amen? We just put the other person first. When we come to church, it's to minister to someone else, not for my own needs. Okay, of course, I always had this, sometimes I wonder, why did God ask us to minister to other people? Yeah, I realize if everyone is ministering to one another, everyone's needs are met. Amen? Okay, if you just minister to one another, I minister to him, he ministers to him, he ministers to me, someone ministers to me, everyone's needs are met. Alright? And God has a wonderful plan. You know why? If we just think about ourselves, we become selfish. Or we think about other people, we become selfless, but our needs are being met too. Because other people, following the same Christ, surrendered life, ministers to me, I get encouraged too. Does that make sense? Alright? Okay, so in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 5. Alright, Galatians 5:13, the Bible says, by love, serve one another. We need to serve others. Many of us serve Christ, but are we serving others? It's a very different thing. We need to learn to serve others. In other words, tie your shoes for another person, do something else for someone else. It's so easy to serve God, isn't it? But sometimes it's quite hard to serve someone. There was this preacher who said this before. To live above, with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with saints we know, oh, there's another story. Oh, may not be that even if, as a local church, if we cannot love one another, then what kind of love are we going to show to the world? All right, it's interesting that brotherly kindness in 1 Peter comes before charity, unconditional love. God wants to teach us to love one another. All right, we need to, you know how, as an indication of surrender, people, if something happens to someone, I need to be ready to bend down low to serve that person, okay? Be ready to serve. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, be ready to serve. I think there's a point there that doesn't have a verse, but it's Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 15. Ephesians 6, 15. Let's read the verse together if you're there. Okay, ready? One, two, go. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, what does that mean? Be ready always to serve. Be ready always to serve. Just like a soldier, in the context, there's a spiritual armor of the Roman soldier. And the boots is a very important part. Because during the time when they go into warfare, the ground is generally very rocky, very stony. If you go in barefoot or even wrap around with cloth, it's going to be very painful. But Paul says, look, make sure you have your boots on at a moment's notice. Alright, last time I remember when I was in the army, I think some of you may still remember when they shout, turn out. Last time we dare not sleep without our boots. Your boots take the longest time. You sleep with your boots on. It was such a vivid picture of being ready at one call. Psh, you jump out of bed, you don't even brush your teeth. You just go. Why? The Bible says we must always be ready for service. Every believer needs to be ready. Say, well, Lord, you got something for me? Psh, I'll do it. Oh, that we will be such a surrendered church that anything that God requires, God, I'll be there. That's what Paul means. You know, Christians who hesitate to serve God, you don't have the complete armor on. And as a result, you don't grow in Christ. Alright? As a pastor, I'm very aware of the limitation of people's time. So I try to spread things out a bit and try to plan such that people will have time. But you know what? We need to, even with that, you know, I'm very encouraged, and people say, I'll do that, no worries. And your email to your pastor, can I do this? Sure, I'll give it to you. But you know what? We need to be ready to serve at a moment's notice. That's an evidence of a surrendered assembly, an evidence of a surrendered church. I'm not asking you to conform to what Brother Johnny says. This is what the Bible says. And now I understand why some churches, you know, some people are so willing to serve. You know, it's like almost robotic. We need to be careful of cultic following. By everything the pastor said, people do, okay? However, from the scriptures, from your heart, if God says, do something, would you be willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it? No questions asked. I'll just do what you tell me to do. All right? Okay, Luke 16:10. Let's turn there. Okay, these are the things we need to do. I do want to show a quick video of about 19 minutes. So, in Luke 16:10, the Bible says, let's read together. It's very important as a surrendered Christian. Oh, that everyone would learn this. If you learn this, I can tell you, your life will grow. Okay, let's read together. 16:10, ready? 1, 2, go. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Okay. In other words, if God gives us a small task and we can do it well, God says, okay, I can trust you. I'll give you a bit more, a bit more, and a bit more. Until God uses you in a big capacity. Every one of us have the capacity to be faithful to the small things. In fact, that's a starting point. All right? Oh, Christians, be faithful. Learn to be faithful in the little things. If I'm supposed to do this, I'll do it the best of my ability. I won't leave out anything. Okay? Any questions? Well, let's go on. Next point, number 6. Remembering all the time why we are surrendering to the Lord. Okay? As much as we make all these decisions to making initial decision to surrender to the Lord, making small decisions that will matter spiritually, realize it by faith, we surrender, get rid of things in our lives, start doing those things I know I must do for the Lord. We need to remember all the time why we surrender. We're not just following man, we're following Christ. Okay? 4 things. Number 1, we want to be like the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus surrendered his life totally to the Father's will. Totally. I come not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. That's what Jesus said in the book of John. Alright? To be like the Lord Jesus. Number 2, to show our love to him. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? We love him, 1 John 4:19, because he first loved us. Okay, remember why we're following Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, we are following, surrendering to the Lord so that we can grow in Christ. Okay? The Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, Philippians 3, verse 7 to 10 talks about why we are surrendering to Christ so that we can have power in this life to live for Christ. Okay, Paul says, I count what I have but dung, that I might know the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Alright, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says, in order for me to have power, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. You know what power is required for the resurrection? Miraculous power. For someone is dead, God has to bring the person to life. Paul says, I want to know that kind of power. Do you realize every time we win someone to Christ, we do that? Think about that for a while. We share the gospel. Of course, we are not the one who raised the dead. God, the Holy Spirit, does. In the same way, God, the Holy Spirit, raised Jesus. Remember, by the Spirit of Holiness, Romans chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus is raised up by the Spirit of Holiness, Holy Spirit of God. When we share the gospel with someone and we are surrendered, God brings life to the other person. And we raise that person, literally, from spiritual death to spiritual life. Amen? You know, based on this, to be a surrendered assembly, every one of us will be soul winners. That we will be able to at least... No, our goal is not to make sure they get into heaven. Our goal is at least to share the word of life with these people faithfully with power in our lives. One of the things I ask of God, you know, I pray for this, that when I share the word of life with someone, God, I pray there will be change. If there's no change, I'll say, Lord, what's happening? Every time if I share something and something happens, Lord, what's happening to me? Why is it there's no power? I keep reminding myself, let's keep surrender, keep your heart humble, keep surrender. I thank God that God has done some things in the ambassador, but we want him to do more. Can you imagine if everyone is surrendered? I can tell you, the whole of Yishun Woodlands, Marsiling, Sembawang has no resistance to the gospel. I'm serious. There is no reason why the power of Christ cannot be shown openly. The people cannot come to Christ like they came to Christ in the New Testament church. If only God's people will be surrendered. Okay? Because remember in Acts chapter 2, the last verse, having favor with God and with men, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Alright, as a result of the church unity, as it submitted to God, God was able to use them. Okay? Any questions?
All right, very quickly, what do we need in order to accomplish the above? Okay, number one, very quickly, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You need to put faith. All right, I'll give you these lessons, then we want to watch the DVD to tie in the whole thing together. All right, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, dying daily to self. What does that mean? It means, I want to do this, but if God tells me to do something else, I'll follow God. I die to myself, what my ambitions are, what I want to do. Number three, be willing to listen to reprove, not reproved, reprove, okay? In other words, sometimes when I'm surrendering but I'm not doing something right, I constantly, even as pastor, when I hear comments from members, I will actually say, Lord, is there something I can learn that I may grow? Because of why, the Bible says, Proverbs 1 verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Okay? Or when someone shares, let's say, I've learned this. Don't go into defense mode when someone tells you something wrong with you or me. I've learned this. Don't go into defense mode. Go into, Lord, your word teaches me, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And this is how I think. If someone tells me something that I've done wrong, I would stop first, control my pride. That's the first thing. And then say, Lord, is what he's saying is true. If it's true, then I thank the brother and or sister, and I need to change. If it's not true, I'll still thank the brother, just ignore it. And then maybe strengthen what I'm doing, what is right. Okay? So be listen, willing to listen to reproof. Listen to counsel is the next one. The multitude of counsel, there is safety. As Christians, we need to grow, so that we need to listen to counsel. The next one, point number five, be among God's people. Be among God's people. It is so important. It's impossible to live a surrendered life outside of the church. Do you realize why? Because there's very little encouragement from the world to follow Christ. I've used this illustration before. If you have a cup of water and you put it in the freezer, for the first maybe 1 hour it still be liquid, right? You know what happens after a while? It turns to ice. If you walk in the cold night of sin in this world all the time, without fellowship with God's people, what happened to you after a while? You literally become ice, cold to things of Christ. You need to be among God's people. And know God's people, if you're surrendered, you got fire, right? Even if someone is icy, you can melt the person and give him some warmth. I believe this with all my heart. You know what the Bible says? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as matter of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. And based on what we've been following since February, you know, the Iran-Israel crisis, the day is approaching. Massive forces are in Israel, weapons of mass destruction, and now some of the Israeli people are saying, one of the, I think Home Affairs or Defense Minister was saying that, you know, Israel must attack Israel before, Israel must attack Iran before the next U.S. election. That forces Obama's hand to support Israel, because otherwise a lot of people will move away to support Romney, which is the next one. So the stage is set. We don't know when the rapture will happen. It probably is going to be soon. I don't know. I'm not a prophet of doom. It could be 10 years from now. But you know what? Things seem to be sizing up in the Middle East right now for a massive confrontation, Israel and Iran. And of course, Iran has always said, let's get rid of Israel. Guess what? He's going to be wrong. You cannot get rid of the people of God. Amen? Okay. So the next one, be among God's people so we can all the time be encouraged. Next one is obedience. Obedience. We need to put on obedience. And finally, dependency. I trust my friends. Actually, I want to do a... Actually, I'll come out here and then I'll get some people here. Then I'll throw myself down and some people will hold me. Okay, I trust my friends to hold me up. Okay, you need to depend on God. In order to be surrendered, you need to depend on God. Okay, you don't know what's that. Come for youth camp. I think they're going to play again. All right? Some people, it's like... Never mind, even funny. No one, then go back again. And some people will go, come on, hurry up, you're wasting time. You've been standing there for the last 20 minutes, you know. You just throw yourself down. We need to learn to depend on Christ, even in surrender. Can I say this, that no one will want to surrender if you live in the flesh? Because the flesh always wants control. You need to surrender to the flesh. Okay? I think he's given up the doors again. It's okay. Okay. Any questions? Any questions? Okay. What does a surrendered church look like? Okay. If I surrender to the Lord, all right. We're gonna watch a video.
Hopefully, it will tie in what we've been learning. How many of you have seen the show Perpetua? Some of you may have. Perpetua. Okay, some of you may have. I think majority haven't. Perpetua is a very encouraging. It's about a lady in the 300 AD who was the first lady who wrote his account before he actually went to the Colosseum to be killed by lions. All right, and we see, and hopefully we can see what it means in the days of old, what they mean by surrender. All right?
Can I say this? The opposite effect happens when you surrender to Christ. It's amazing what God will do through you. There's life in the seed, but the Bible teaches us that the seed must die to itself before he can actually bring forth fruit. And this is an important principle. May we all have this in our hearts. My desire as pastor is to be a surrendered church. Not because of anything else, because I know you guys can bless many other people if we die to ourselves. All right, any kind of questions before we close this series on the surrendered assembly? May God work in our hearts. Maybe remember what Jesus taught us. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up the cross daily and follow me. And that is the Lord's will. Okay, is there any questions? Now let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can understand a little bit more about surrender. Father, I know a picture is worth a thousand words. And I pray, Father, through what we have seen. Lord, we know faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing your word. And Lord, I pray that even as we have studied through the many Bible passages, and Lord, we know that even through this, through the account of Perpetua, that you would tie up all the verses together in the life of this lady when, despite the persecution, despite the prospect of death, despite the prospect of losing everything she has, including her own son, and Lord, she is willing to say, I'm a Christian. We thank you. We do not need to go through to this today. But help us in our hearts to have the spirit of surrender. That God, we would love you above all. Lord, I pray that we will search the scriptures to see if this is what you ask us to do. And Father, millions and millions of Christians who have given their lives cannot be wrong. Because many people attested to the fact that these people love Christ above even their own lives. Help us, Lord, and ambassador to be a surrendered church for your honor and glory. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.